morning.
Good morning.
Thank you all for being here, and hopefully we're going to get out of here before the freezing rain comes. No suggestion for a short service. Please take a minute and check the announcements that are in your bulletin. One that is not here, because it's pretty far out, but mark your calendars. The annual spring, semi-annual, I guess, spring craft show will be held March 30th over in McFadden Hall. So please mark your calendars, as I said, to maybe participate by taking out a table if you have a craft that you're interested in, or by coming to purchase some of the crafts that will be available. They'll be serving lunch, there'll be a bake sale, so there's lots to do from a supporter or participant point of view. So please mark your calendar and plan to be here for that. And I think that's pretty much everything that's not in the bulletin, so you can read that for yourselves. Just want to welcome Ashley. No, that's not a typo. No, that's not the name her parents gave her. Yes, she married a man whose last name is Ashley, so there you go. Ashley's working on a double master's degree right now, so it's amazing to me that she had time to preach two sermons today. And she informed me that midterms start tomorrow. So keep her in your prayers this week also, and welcome.
Thank you.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It is lovely to be in worship with you all this morning. I have known Reverend Rebecca DePoe for quite a few years now. She went to seminary with my husband. She's a dear friend of mine, a colleague and a mentor in many ways, and I've heard wonderful things about you all, and I know she's excited to be here at this new call. So thank you for having me this morning. Surely the presence of our Lord is in this place. So let us bow our heads as we prepare our hearts for worship this morning. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Please stand and join us as you are able in body and our spirit to sing our opening hymn, Here in This Place.
Here in this place,
now are called to confession. If we say that we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us all of our sin and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sin to God and to one another using the words as printed in our bulletin. Eternal God, our Judge and Redeemer, we confess that we have tried to hide from you, for we have done wrong. We have lived for ourselves and apart from you. Turn from our neighbors and refuse to bear the burdens of others.
We have ignored the pain of the world
and passed by the hungry, the poor, and the oppressed. In your great mercy, forgive our sins and free us from selfishness, that we may choose your will and obey your commandments through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Hear the good news. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might be dead to sin and alive to all that is good. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Alleluia and amen. Let us join our voices with our brothers and sisters throughout history, repeating the words of the Apostles' Creed together as found on the screen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. May the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you always. Let us extend that peace to one another, however you would like. Handshakes, hugs, kind words.
I come to the cross where you died. 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So the church
Now comes the time in our service where we can share with one another our prayer requests or praises. If there are any joys or concerns you'd like to share with the congregation this morning.
Ouch. Good morning, everyone. I have a prayer slash praise request. It is for Verna Milbert. She is here with us today. We just found out today that last week she had a pacemaker put in. But it's lovely to see her here, and prayers for continued good health, Verna. And also one for our Chief Brian Kelly. I saw through the internet the other day that Chief Kelly was named the 54th president of the Allegheny County Chiefs of Police Association. Okay. So congratulations, Chief.
Thank you. Any others to share this morning? We'll be praying for Pastor Rebecca. She is traveling. Wonderful. Just before we move forward to an announcement, a quick announcement, there are cookies in the back after fellowship today. They're Valentine theme, and I sampled them. They are delicious. So take a moment after service to join us in some fellowship. That's always a praise, is fellowship with one another. Any others this morning? Great. We'll be in prayer soon. Please join me as you are able again in singing our hymn of meditation, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, number 223.
Oh,
You may be seated. I always find when I'm doing pulpit supply, there's two things that I really enjoy about doing pulpit supply. One is the passing of the peace, especially in smaller congregations where everyone can say hello to everyone. I think that's very special. And the second is the time to pray together, because we are called as the body of Christ, not only as the church in Glenshaw Valley, not only a church in Pittsburgh or Western Pennsylvania, but as the body of Christ throughout the world, to lift up to God the things in our hearts and our souls that are troubling and the things that bring us peace. So let us do that now and spend some time in prayer. Let us prepare our hearts for worship by bowing our heads. Let us pray. Gracious God, because we are not strong enough to pray as we should, you provide Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit to intercede for us in power. And this confidence, we ask you to accept our prayers. God of mercy, hear us. Let us pray for the church. Faithful God, you formed your church from the despised of the earth and showed them mercy, that they might proclaim your salvation to all. Strengthen those whom you choose today, that they may faithfully endure all trials by which you conform your church to the cross of Christ. God of mercy, hear us. Let us pray for creation. Creator of all, you entrusted the earth to the human race, yet we disrupt its peace with violence and corrupt its purity with our greed. Prevent your people from ravaging creation, that coming generations may inherit lands brimming with life. God of mercy, hear us. Let us pray for the world. Sovereign God, you hold both the history of nations and the humble life of villages in your care. Preserve the people of every nation from tyrants, heal them of disease, and protect them in time of upheaval and disaster, that all may enter the kingdom that cannot be shaken. God of mercy, hear us. Let us pray for peace. Judge of the nations, you created humanity for salvation, not for destruction, and sent your Son to guide us into the way of peace. Enable people of every race and nation to accept each other as sisters and brothers, your children, on whom you lavish honor and favor. God of mercy, hear us. Let us pray for those who govern us. God Most High, in Jesus of Nazareth, you showed us the authority that pleases you. For he rules not by power or might, but serves in obedience to your will. We pray for all in authority over us, for our president, for Congress, for our governor, and our state legislature. Deliver them from vain ambitions, that they may govern in wisdom and justice. God of mercy, hear us. Let us pray for this community. Merciful God, since Jesus longed to protect Jerusalem as a hen gathers her young under her wings, we ask you to guard and strengthen all who live and work here. Deliver your people from jealousy and contempt, that they may show mercy to all their neighbors. God of mercy, hear us. Let us pray for families. Holy God, from whom every family on earth takes its name, strengthen parents and guardians to be responsible and loving, that their children may know security and joy. Lead children to honor those who care for them with compassion and forgiveness. And may all people discover your parental care by the respect and love given them by others. God of mercy, hear us. Let us pray for all who suffer any sorrow or trial. Compassionate God, your Son gives rest to those weary with heavy burdens. Lord, we especially today lift up our own prayer requests. Lord, we pray for Verna, who has a pacemaker put in, or that you would give her strength and healing, and may that pacemaker serve her well. Lord, we give thanks for Brian Kelly and the honor that he has received as chief police. Lord, we thank you for all our law enforcement and what they do to protect and serve those in our communities. Lord, we ask that you would heal the sick in body, mind, and spirit. Lift up the depressed, befriend those who grieve, comfort the anxious, and stand with all victims of abuse and other crime. Awaken those who damage themselves and others through the use of any drug. Fill all people with your Holy Spirit, that they may bear each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. God of mercy, hear us. Let us give thanks for the lives of the departed who now have rest in God. Eternal God, your love is stronger than death and your passion more fierce than the grave. We rejoice in the lives of those whom you have drawn into your eternal embrace. Keep us in joyful communion with them until we join the saints of every people and nation gathered before your throne in ceaseless praise. God of glory, you see how all of creation groans in labor as it awaits redemption. As we work for and await your new creation, we trust that you will answer our prayers with grace and fulfill your promise that all things work together for good for those who love you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray together saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. And now, in gratitude for all that God has given us, let us offer up with joy this morning our tithes and offering. Let us pray. God of all mercies, we give you humble thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness to us and to all people. We thank you for our creation, our preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all for your boundless love and the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. Give us such an awareness of your mercies that with truly thankful hearts we may show forth your praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all of our days, through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
There are some things in here that I can't pronounce, so bear with me. Today's reading, two separate readings. The first one is Galatians 6, verses 7 through 16. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. See what large letters I can make when I am writing in my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh that try to compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not be prosecuted for the cross of Christ. Even the circumcised do not themselves obey the law, but they want you to be circumcised so that they may boast about your flesh. May I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything, but a new creation is everything. As for those who will follow this rule, peace be upon them and mercy upon the Israel of God. The second reading comes from 2 Kings 5, verses 1 through 14. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Armenians on the other raids had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she never served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went and told his lord just what the girl from the land of Israel had said. And the king from Aram said, "Go then, and I will send along a letter to the king of Israel." He went, taking with him the 10 talents of silver, 6,000 skels of gold, and 10 sets of garments. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, I know that I have sent you to my servant Naaman, that you may cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read this letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life, that this man sends word to me to cure men of leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick up a quarrel with me." But Elijah, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes. He sent the message to the king, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and his chariots and halted at the entrance of Elijah's house. Elijah sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away, saying, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord our God, and would have his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Parphar, the drivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" He turned and went away in rage. But his servants approached him and said, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you have not done it? How much more when all he says, wash and be clean?" So he went down, immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. Bless the reading of the word.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So this morning in our reading, we are introduced to a man named Naaman, and we are hit immediately with a list of his credentials. He was the commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man who had earned the favor of his master, and he was a valiant warrior who had brought many victories to his people. first glance, it would appear that Naaman was the kind of man who had every right to hold his head up high and to feel proud about these accomplishments, and even to revel in the glory that all his success had brought him. But there is a but that comes at the end of Naaman's series of titles and an asterisk at the end of all his achievements. Sure, Naaman was a great man, but he had leprosy. Leprosy was a common disease during Naaman's day, and it ranged in severity. Those with the worst symptoms were identified by a painful, blotchy, widespread skin infection that could cause disfigurement or even loss of limbs. Those contaminated were usually quarantined and rejected by society. So, given Naaman's stature and his access to the king, it is likely that Naaman's case was much more mild, potentially only marked by white, dry, scaly skin. Harmless, but probably still stigmatized. Imagine what it must have been like for Naaman to walk down the busy streets of his hometown, with people bowing their heads and averting their eyes, mothers pulling their children aside, and teenagers whispering and pointing as he walked by. Naaman, of course, wanting to believe that their attention and distance comes from a place of respect and admiration, but subconsciously still pulling at the sleeves of his coat and readjusting the hem of his collar in a vain attempt to cover the patches of discolored skin. You know, just in case. I bet Naaman felt like he had to constantly prove himself. I bet he lived his life striving to obtain prestige in order to make other people forget about these blemishes. He probably spent his life seeking power on the battlefield with victories and conquests, seeking affirmation in the titles given to him for his valor and charisma, and seeking acceptance in the rewards and praises he received for all of his hard work and fortitude. We see glimpses of this deep-rooted tension in the way Naaman responds to the news that a prophet in a foreign land might be able to heal him. He jumps at the opportunity to do what he has always done best, proving that he has what it takes to overcome the obstacles set before him. He stands before the king of Samaria with the spoils of all this success: gold, silver, precious fabrics. He's ready to trade them all in exchange for a cure. He marches towards the house of the prophet with chariots, horses, and servants and soldiers, ready to accept whatever quest that this man of God might have for him. But he balks when the cure only requires him to bathe in a nearby river. Surely it cannot be that easy. Nothing in his life has been that easy. Naaman is a great man, and he refuses to accept that healing can occur without paying a great price, undertaking a great deed, or the prophet performing a great show. He believes that the peace and healing that he seeks can only come from the power he himself has earned, or the prestige that that power has brought him. I get Naaman, at least a little bit. Like Naaman, I too often feel like there is a but at the end of my titles or accomplishments. As a seminary student, I find the need to earn acceptance by winning awards and scholarships, earning good grades, and receiving compliments from peers and professors. I have always felt this need to prove myself when I was a youth pastor, or as a friend, a wife, a daughter, back when I was a bank teller, or an admissions student worker, and even as a homemaker. All our houses need to look like the magazines, right? I have striven for excellence, for perfection, for power, for recognition, in order to shift attention from what others probably perceive, or at least what I think they perceive, are my own blemishes. She's a great youth pastor, but she looks like a child. Yeah, I've gotten that. She's a great student, but she struggles with anxiety. She would make a great pastor. Too bad she's a woman. I wonder if I am the only one in the room who struggles with a but at the end of their own name. I wonder if I'm the only one in the room who has made countless attempts to secure honor and respect from those around me. My guess is probably not. We are all caught up in the same American workforce that calls us to climb social ladders and win the approval of others by testifying to our own self-worth. In order to be successful, we are called to come in early and to stay late, to check in on the weekends and on vacations, and volunteer for tasks that should not be our own, in order to compete with our office mates, our friends, for the attention and affirmation of supervisors and bosses. We work to achieve titles and promotions that will get our names on shiny plaques. Yet no matter how hard we try, these buts seem to follow us everywhere. We cannot seem to let them go. After all, Andrew Carnegie was a great businessman and philanthropist, but he was an immigrant. And George Westinghouse was a great innovator, but he was a high school dropout. Returning to our text, Naaman had to make a choice. He could remain angry, he could return home without a cure, and continue to fight for his country and for his own honor. Or he could take a breath, take just 1 minute, and listen to the voices of those around him, the ones of his servants. What is he longing for most of all? Is it a quest, a chance to prove himself, or is it healing? And what is this healing worth to him? His pride? His trust? A swim in foreign water? Naaman had to make a choice, and he chose to listen to the voice of his servants, obey the prophet of God, turn away from his own pride, and submit to the water. Another story comes to mind when I think of Naaman's response. In Mark chapter 1, only a few days after emerging from the cleansing waters of the Jordan himself, Jesus spoke the first words of his new ministry. The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe this good news. Literally, Jesus is saying, pay attention, listen up. The long-awaited kingdom of God is getting closer. Turn away from the life you once lived and believe all the good things that I am about to tell you. Naaman could have returned home and continued to revel in the favor of his master. He could have returned home and continued to enjoy all his gold and silver and fine fabrics. He could have returned home and continued to lead horses, chariots, servants, and soldiers into battle. He could have continued to seek power and acceptance on his own. He could have, but thankfully he didn't. Naaman turned from his pride. He listened to the message, and he turned back on the attempts to earn favor and humbly dipped his body into the gentle waters of the Jordan. He submitted to the call of the prophet, and in his turning, in this submission, he discovered what had been true all along. God is with him, and God has restored him. We too are called to turn from our prideful attempts to earn power, acceptance, and favor in this world, and instead respond to the God who calls us into the water. We do not need to pay or perform for God's mercies. We simply need to receive them. Jesus did not leave behind a list of rules to follow or tasks to accomplish, but he did leave us with two sacraments to observe. Like Naaman, being drawn to the waters of the Jordan, we are drawn to the waters of baptism as a reminder not of something we have done for God, but of something that God has done for us. We celebrate and remember our own baptism with gratitude because it reminds us of all the ways God is constantly reaching into our own lives and drawing us into further union with Jesus Christ. In the Presbyterian Church, these sacraments are often referred to as the visible signs of an invisible grace. When we feel the waters of baptism on our own heads, or when we watch them poured over the heads of others, we remember that we are invited into the body of Christ and incorporated into the community of faith. We are made members of this community not through our own efforts, but through the power of the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one who gives us the gift of restoration and relationship with God. So let us be like Naaman. Let us acknowledge that true power and acceptance cannot be found in our own accomplishments, titles, or wealth, but something we can only experience when we listen to the voice of God. And let us turn from prideful attempts to earn grace and favor, and instead joyfully submit to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who invites us into the waters of baptism still today. Amen. And now I invite you to respond to God's word as you are able, standing in your heart or with your body. And joining us in our closing hymn today, We Exalt Thee, which will be found on the screen. Now, brothers and sisters, as you go out, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and forever give you peace. Amen.